This Shabbos, we recite Perikei and Pirkei Avos. It would appear that in Mishnayos, Maseches Avos only has five prakim. In the Sidurim, we have a sixth perik that begins with the introduction. Shana Chachamim v'loshan ha-Mishnah, Baruch Shebaruch ha-Bahem, Abim Mishnasam. So everything in Perik Vav is really a braisa. And Mishnayos, the Maseches of Mishnayos ends with the end of Perikei. The Vilna Goyen writes that Mishneh Chof in Perikei that concludes Ranecha Shibanim Beis Hamigdash Meheri Amen Masecha Ken Masechah is a Tos Sefer. It's a misprint. It doesn't really belong over there in Mishneh Chof because there are another few Mishnayos till the end of the Perik. It ends with Mishneh Chof Gimel. So the Vilna Goyen says this was the conclusion of the Masechta. Is Che Yiras Mavanecha. At the end of the whole perek, the perek is the whole Masecha Sovis is important for Rabbonim and for Dayonim. That's why it's in Nezikin. It's important for Dayonim and for Rabbonim to act properly. So it follows Masecha Sanhedrin. And it concludes Yiratzin Shibbanim Beis Hamikdash, and the learning will be on a higher level. The Beis Hamikdash is not only the central location for Hakrobos Karbonis, there's an Iser. Kotchim Bachutz is an Issa Koris. If he Shechet Kotchim Achutz, a Yamala Kotchim Achutz, it's also the center of Tfilah, Kibesi Beis Tfilah Yikore. L'chol Ha'amim, when Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Bais Rishon, he offered a whole prayer, and he didn't mention about bringing a Karbonis at all. He said, everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray, whether it's a personal need, whether it's a national need, whether it's an international need, whether there's an epidemic, a flood, a war, a personal gripe, everyone, the Jew, the non-Jew, everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash and pray to Elokei Yisrael, not to pray to Oso Ish, to pray to Elokei Yisrael. So the Beis HaMikdash is the central location for Karbonis, central location for davening. That's why it says in Echa, Kam Ke'ezek Vashaveya, Sosam Tfilosi, the prayers are no longer accepted after the Churban Beis HaMikdash to the same extent that it used to be accepted as Mansha Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, because the Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Shari Tfila. That's the Gemara in the end of Perek Azov. Gemara quotes that Pasuk, but the Beis HaMikdash is also the central location for the Limud HaTorah, both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Moshe Rabbeinu gave, when Vahikachavus Moshe Lichtel Lot Kaldir HaTorah Azois, when Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the whole text of the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, so he says he gave it to the Levim, and he told them, "Samta Moshe b'tzad Aharon b'is Hashem b'hayosham b'chol yed." They should put this Sefer Torah that's called the Sefer Azara, has a special status. Rashi Shita Tosfos and Bava Basra in the first perek quotes Rashi. Rashi Shita is that when he can go to lanes on Yom Kippur, he has to lane dafka from the Sefer Azara. When the Melech lanes Hakel on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, once every 7 years, following Shnas HaShemitah, the Rashi holds he has to learn from the Sefer Azara. Sefer Azara is Al-Pi Din, the official text of the Sefer Torah. Whenever there'll be a question, what the spelling of a letter is, what the spelling of a word should be, so you have to check in the Sefer Azara. That's what it says in the Medrash, and the Al-Kad Shemoni, if I'm not mistaken, on that pasuk. L'kech HaSefer Torah Zevusamta Moshe B'tzad Aharon B'ris Hashem, that on one year there was a question how it should be written in the Chumash Ma'on Elokei Kedem or Ma'on Elokei Kedem with a hey at the end or without a hey. So they checked in the Sifrei Azora. There were three Sifrei Azora, and two out of the three had Ma'on Elokei Kedem. So they said, we're going to go Basarai. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, why didn't they check all the Sifrei Torah in the world? Why they only checked the Sifrei Azora? There were three. So apparently this Sefer Azara Al-Pidin has a special status that is for the purpose of preserving the accurate text of the Chamishu Chumshe Torah. So that's why they only check the Sefer Azara. So the Beis HaMikdash is a central location for Torah Shebichsav and central location for Torah Shebalpeh. The Sanhedrin has to meet and the Lishkas HaGoz has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile, and that's considered the beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash Bishlemusa is when you have a Sanhedrin there. and Sanhedrin are the represent the Torah Shebal Peh. Sanhedrin Gdolah Sheb Yerushalayim is not like any other bezin, that the function of the bezin is to paskin dinei Torah, to paskin shailos. Here, the bezin Gdolah Sheb Yerushalayim was rarely called upon, very rarely called upon to paskin. They were amudei haherab hikat Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Loshan Aramam, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. There, it's the international kollel of Klal Yisrael, and there for the purpose of preserving and transmitting the Torah Shebal Peh from generation to generation. So that's why we say Yiratzin Shibbonim Beis Hamikdash Meheri Amenim Secha Kenim Sarasecha. The learning will be on a higher level when the Beis Hamikdash will be restored. So since this whole Masechta is Midas Torahs are important for everybody, but it's even more important for Rabbonim and Dayonim that they should have Midas Torahs, because whatever, however they act, will affect all of their followers, will affect all the people in the generation. So that's why Obis follows Sanhedrin, Masecha Sanhedrin. That's how the Rambam writes. And the end of Obis should be, Ratzon Sheibonim Beis Hamikdash Memher V'Yameinim. The Perek begins with Asar Ma'amores Nibra Ha'olam, and the Gemara in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes this Mishnah. The Gemara never tells you which are the Asar Ma'amores. The Rishonim work on that. The Gemara says, it says nine times Vayomer, and what is the tenth Maimer? So the Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Maimer Habib. Well, what was created with Bereshis? What was created? So the Mefarshim said, what was created with Bereshis was the concept of time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'mayla Min Hazman, he's L'mayla Min HaTav, he's not part of the Bria. Everything in the Bria is subject to time and space. We can visualize an empty world with nothing there, but there's space and there's time. In our minds, when we think of an empty world, there's nothing there, there's no Bria, but there's time and there's space. Time is ticking away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not part of the world. He created the world with these concepts of time and space. He's L'mayla Min Hazman. There is no concept of time by him. So the Bereshis Nami Maimer means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the concept of time. Which are the Asar Ma'amores? Which are they? So you look on the Machzavitri, the different Rishonim, so they have different suggestions. So some of the Rishonim say that Nasa Adam Itzalmenu is one of the Asar Ma'amores. Let's create a human being. And Esa La'iza Kenegdo is another one, that the institution of Shalom Bayis, that two people can live in harmony together, is a new Bria. It doesn't follow naturally or automatically. It's a separate Bria. And unfortunately, lav kol adam zeicha l'kach, not everybody is zeicha to have shalom bayis. Interesting. So I'm trying to consider it two different mamorim, the maimar of creation of human being, the maimar of shalom bayis, esel oiz kenegdo, are two different mamorim. In Mishnah Beis, the Mishnah tells us there were 10 generations from Adam Anoach until the Mabel Hodia kam erech apayim leponav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited, he didn't punish right away. There is Chayv Yonish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish right away. He doesn't give reward right away. Well, all the generations from Adam until Noach, Machisim Abayim, they were sinning, till the Baruch Shalom decided, that's it. Achehev Aleim is Mei HaMabel. And there were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Koladoros HaMachisim Abayim, Achehev Avram, the Kibol Schar Kulam. So the Mefarshim quote the Midrashim that say that for every person who is created in the world, every person is born, there's a chelik in Gan Eden, a chelik in Gehenna. So if a person is zeicha and he goes to Gan Eden, he's not al chelka the chelik chavero. There are a lot of Rishonim who are not going to get a chelik in Gan Eden. So the one who is going to get a chelik sometimes, he was such a tzaddik, not al chelka the chelik chavero. So that's what it means. Achabavram v'kibol schar kulam. Ram Avinu got their chelik. And also, chelko b'gehenim, all the tzaddikim, there was a chelik reserved for every individual in Gehenim, but a lot of people are not going to go to Gehenim. The tzaddikim in the world, they're not going to go to Gehenim. So their chelik will be taken by some other Rosha who deserves to suffer. So not the chelka, the chelik chavera is both for schar and for oynish. That's what the Mishnah says. How come in this Mishnah just says, Ad Avram? Asar daras menuach v'ad Avram, ad sheba Avram l'kibol schar kulam. And then later on it says, Mishnah Gimel, Asar nisyanis nisnas Avram Avinu. How come now he's Avram and later he's Avram Avinu? So Abchaim Balozhin there explains Avram was an individual. So in history, you say from Noach to Avram. You only call him Avram Avinu when we're talking about something genetic that's transmitted in his DNA. Avram Avinu had Esen Esenis, and he was successful in all of them. So the fact that he had Yira Shamayim and he fulfilled all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this became part of his DNA, and this was transmitted to the later generation. That's why in Mishneh Gimel we call him Avram Avinu, because his success in passing all of the 10 tests that he pulled through was transmitted to his children. So then we call him Avram Avinu. But I'm just talking about a historical figure, not about transmitting something to the future generation. So you call him Avram. You don't call him Avram Avinu. Mishnah has interesting in Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah lists off and the Mishnah lists off all of the 10 unusual nisim. So one of them is omdim tzvufim u'mishtachavim rebochim, when the people were standing, so it was packed in the Azara. But then when they were mishtachavim, and they would say vidui, so it's not nice that someone should hear what my averis are. So I'm going to say be'avachash, but if it's tzvufim, if they're standing tzvufim, it's going to be mishtachavim, it's going to be more tzvufim. Going to take up more space. So that was a nes. It was mishtach v'mirvachim. So the pashtus says that the nes was on the mishtach v'mirvachim. So shalo yishma demifashim say that each person shouldn't hear the other person's vidui. Nobody has to know what averis I did. They say the name Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He was upset in Valozhin Yeshiva, where he was Rosh Yeshiva the last few years that Valozhin existed before it was closed down. So a lot of the Talmidim would pace back and forth when they were davening. And they wouldn't really pay attention to the davening. So they say in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that Omdim Tzfufim was also a miracle, not just Mishtachvim Revochim. Omdim Tzfufim was already a miracle, that they shouldn't be able to pace back and forth in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a bizoyan that Rav Chaim held. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this. I never heard this from Rav Soloveitchik about the Pshat and the Mishnah. Others print that. But he said Rav Chaim was upset and he felt that it's a bizoyan to the Beis HaKnesses that people walk back and forth when they daven. It's a bizoyan atfila, bizoyan Beis HaKnesses. You should really stand in one place and daven. So they say the name Rav Chaim, that the Omdim Tzfufim was already a miracle, that the people wouldn't be able to walk back and forth while they daven. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard there's a Gemara somewhere about Tana Ramora, who he would start davening in one place and he would end up in the other side of the room and then the davening.
Rabbi Akiva,
yeah. He would be mishtachve in his tachvor. He would be kneeling on the floor and so on. So he would end up in a different place. That was part of the davening. But not that it was just bored with the davening, so he was roaming around in the middle of the davening. Rabbi Akiva did it as part of the davening, right? The Mishnah ends off, Mishnah Hey ends off. It was a miracle that never happened. Everybody, there's a din of lina. Whenever you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to stay overnight. You have to stay overnight after bringing a korban. So it never happened that people would complain. Yerushalayim was always a happy place, even though it was crowded. There were hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people came to Be'er L'Regel. Yerushalayim, Yer Atika is not so big. Nonetheless, everybody was happy there. So the Mefarshim on the Pirkei Avos quote Midrashim, where they point out that the Pasuk in Tehillim describes Yerushalayim as Klilas Yoifim, as Seiskal Haaretz, that it's the cheerful location in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever comes to Yerushalayim is going to be happy. And then the Medrash says there was a kippah shel cheshbonis michutz liYerushalayim. There was a room on the outskirts of Yerushalayim that the businessmen who came to Yerushalayim to do business would go to this kippah, to this room outside of Yerushalayim to make the calculation whether they made money or they lost money when they came to Yerushalayim. So why was it only on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, not in Yerushalayim? In case they'll come to the realization that they didn't make so much money, that they lost money, so they shouldn't be sad in Yerushalayim. When you're in Yerushalayim, you have to be happy. So it's interesting. There was a woman who was married to a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and she used to teach young children in a school. So part of the curriculum in Eretz Yisrael was that they would read Rav Soloveitchik's essay about the significance of Eretz Yisrael. That was a talk that he gave in Lampert Auditorium a couple of years after Hakamas HaMedina. One of the early years after Hakamas HaMedina. Kol Dodi Dofek. Remember, he was knocking on the standard. Kol Dodi Dofek. The Rebbein Shalom is knocking on the door. It let me in. So one of the tfikas was he let us establish the Medina. We're all coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Observation was speaking about the importance of Medina, of having a Medina, not just Eretz Yisrael, to have a Medina. So one of several students asked the teacher, if Rabbi Soloveitchik feels so strongly about Hakamas HaMedina, how come he never visited Eretz Yisrael? He wasn't there since 1935. So she sent a letter to Rabbi Soloveitchik that she's a nobody, she's a nothing. She teaches young children, and you're a busy man. You teach in the big yeshiva. You teach Torah on a high level. But my students are asking me, how come you never even came to visit Eretz Yisrael? If you write, if you gave such a major address about significance of the Medina, so Rabbi Soloveitchik answered her. So she had this letter, and it was held private until after she died. I think she died from cancer. And after she passed away, then her husband made it public. So he published, I think he gave over the letter that she wrote to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the letter that Rabbi Soloveitchik responded. So it happened, the letter that he wrote back was just a few months after his wife passed away. So he writes, I'm in Avelus for my wife now, and I'm very sad, and I can't go to Eretz Yisrael, because when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to be happy. And he quotes this medrash, Kippah Shel Cheshbonos was on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim has to be Mesos Kol Ha'aretz. That explains why that year he didn't go. He had planned to go many years. He planned to go with his wife, and now she passed away. And now he can't go, because when you go there, it's all you have to be happy. It's interesting. Mishnah lists off the different, in my Mishnah I see it, it's Mishnah Vav, different editions. It's different numbers in the Mishnah, it's maybe Mishnah Tess. The Mishnah lists off all the 10 things. Asara, Dvarim, Nivru, Be'er, Shabbos, Bein, Ashmashes. All the different Nisim. So the Rambam in his commentary here on Pirkei Avos quotes the Medrash on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. It says, after the whole Kriyas Yamsuf was over, it says, Vayoshev Hayom Le'esano. The Yamsuf went back to Esan as its strength. The Yamsuf was, the water was rolling, and then by Kriyas Yamsuf, all the water stopped, and it kept on piling up, because the water was running up until that spot, so the water kept on piling up. And then when Bnei Yisrael finished crossing, and the Mitzrayim were about to go in, Vayashav Hayam Le'esan, went back to Esan. So the word Esan, Aleph Yutaf Nun, is the same letters as Tanai. So the Medrash comments on that pasuk, Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Ma'isa Bereshis, when the Baruch Shalom created the world, he made a Tanai with the Yam, that when the time will come, the Bnei Yisrael will come and will need Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam should split because of them. So the Rambam explains that this concept of Tanai is true regarding all the Nisim Geluyim. Whenever there's a Nes with the Shinu HaTeva, so it's not that the Baruch Shalom today is changing Teva, it's all part of Teva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he instituted Teva, all the Chukya Teva, and then he made a lot of Tanoim. When it'll be necessary, so the earth should open up and Korach v'Adasa should sink in to Piha Be'er and Piha Oretz. Piha Oretz is for Korach and Piha Osan and so on. Usually, Rabban Shalom created animals, they don't speak. So the Rabban Shalom made it tonight that in the future, when it'll be necessary, the Osan should be able to speak. So the Beis HaLevi and the Sefer HaChumash explains that there are two types of a Tanai. There's a Tanai of Me'achshav, a Tanai of Me'im. Let's say a man gives a ring to a girl and says, Ariat Mukadesha Sleep, May Achshav, if it snows on June 1st. So if it snows, then it'll turn out Igloi Muslim Mafer, she was Mukadeshis as of today. But if he says, Ariat Mukadesha Sleep, if it snows on June 1st, it means if and when. If and when it snows on June 1st, then the Kedushin will be Chal. So what kind of a Tanai is this? This is clearly a Tanai of him, not a Tanai Me'achshav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and he made a lot of Tanayim, but not Me'achshav, not if B'nai Yisrael will come, then the Yamsuf should be split as of now. No, the Yamsuf was rolling the whole time. So all of these Tanayim, all of the Nisim Gluyim, are not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu today is changing Teva. He instilled all of these Tanayim Me'achshav from day number one, not exactly day number one. The Mishnah says it was Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. Why Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes? The Beis HaLevi explains in the Sefer HaChumash, V'chal alakim b'ayim eshu malachta v'asher asa. What do you mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the whole Bria b'yom HaShvi? So Rashi, in his commentary on HaChumash, quotes from the Medrash, it was Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes, and if there would be human beings looking on, human being doesn't know when Friday ends and when Friday night begins, when the next day begins. So it looks to us as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Bria on Shabbos. And really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly when Yom HaShishi is over, Yom HaShvi begins. So he only did Malacha on the Yom HaShvi, on the Yom HaShishi, on Sheshis Mei Bereshis. But the onlooker will think, he'll have the mistaken impression, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Malacha on Shabbos. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes, that the onlooker would think that it was done on Shabbos, and the Rebbe Shalom really did it Erev Shabbos to sort of Bein Hashmashes. It says, Kivo Shabbos Gram Lachto, Shabbos Lakim La Asos. How do you translate it? Shabbos Lakim La Asos. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to quote, I think the Ibn Ezra says, Shabbos Lakim La Asos really means Shabbos Lakim Vi Asa. That's grammatically what it means. I think, and he used to say over there, Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk, Kibayam azei chapa alechem, litaher eschem. So it means, Kibayam azei chapa alechem, vi itaher eschem. Lechaper alechem means, vi itaher eschem means, vi itaher eschem. So to over here. So the Beis HaLevi says, that's pshuto shel mikro. Ashabar lekim la'asos, ashabar lekim vi yasa. But it has an additional level of interpretation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made all of these Tanoim, Tanai of him, not a Tanai Me'achshav. If and when B'nai Yisrael come, the Yamsuf should split if it'll be necessary. If it'll be necessary, the Osan should talk. If it'll be necessary, the Pihorot should open up. So that's why it says, HaShabar Lekim La'asos, the Bria was now, but the Chalos is going to be later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Tanai today, but the La'asos means that the Chalos, the nest will only occur at a later time. If you have Nisim Nistorim, the Rambam explains in the Maran Vuchim, Nisim Nistorim are not based on Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Teva, and the Pasuk says, Chok Nasim Aleyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself doesn't violate the rules of Teva. But there's one thing that was never set, that's never fixed, Arana Chukya Teva. That's Bechira Chavshis. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Bechira Chavshis, he decided to create the world. There was nothing pressuring him. There was nothing forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world. So do human beings all have Bechira Chavshis. We have the ability to decide whether we want to do mitzvahs or averus. So we all have limited Bechira Chavshis. I don't have Bechira to go shoot you if you don't deserve to die. I don't have Bechira Chavshis to burn down your house. If I want to do an averus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu there are people that deserve to die, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open my Bechira Chavshis. If I want, I can kill these people over there. But he won't give me Bechira Chavshis, he won't give me the ability to kill a person who doesn't deserve to die. So there's always limited, there's always restricted Bechira Chavshis. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises Hashgacha Pratis through Bechira Chavshis. The Rambam gives a mashal. How is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises Hashgacha Pratis through, by virtue of the fact that there's Bechira Chavshis? It gives a mashal. A man works in a factory where they manufacture boats. His job is to tighten the screws in the boat so it shouldn't sink. So min hashamayim, they suspend his b'chira chavshes. They want the boat that he's working on. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants that boat to drown Russia in another 100 years. So when the Rebbeinu Shlomo suspends his b'chira chavshes, and when he's screwing, tightening the screws, he doesn't tighten all the screws, so this boat is going to sink in another 100 years. Then, as the years go by, he's coming the 99th year, so people sign up. This is a beautiful boat, and people sign up to go on a trip. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends the Bechira Chashim of the Russia, and he causes him to decide to go on a trip on this boat, because the Baruch Hashem wants him to drown. The problem is that the Tzaddik also signed up to go on the boat. The Tzaddik had Bechira Chashim. He decided he wants to go cruising on the boat to have a good time. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will suspend the Bechira Chavshes of the Tzaddik that he should do a stupid thing. He should go out in the rain without a raincoat, and he catches a cold, and he calls up and he cancels. He can't go on the trip. So, and then the boat sinks, because 100 years ago, when the 20 years ago, whatever it is, when the workers in the factory were tightening the screws, Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended the Bechira Chavshes of the worker that he shouldn't tighten the screws. So the Rambam writes, this is in the Mar Nebuchim. So the Rambam writes that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to exercise Hashgacha Pratis, if everything in the world is B'chuk Yateva, Baruch Shalom is not going to make Nisim every day, but B'chira Chavshis is free. People can choose to do whatever they want within reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu restricts. You have B'chira Chavshis, you can't go over there, you can't go over there. You have a big wide area where you can decide what to do. So he suspends the Bechira Chavshes of the one who's supposed to tighten the screws. He suspends the Bechira Chavshes of the Russia. He should choose to go on this boat in year 99, and the boat is going to sink beginning of the next year. And he suspends the Bechira Chavshes of the Tzaddik that he should get a cold. He should go out in the rain and catch a cold. So he'll have to cancel his trip. That's the way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam exercises Hashgacha Pratis. But he's not going to make nisim gluim all the time. Whenever there are nisim gluim, the Rambam says, it's not just vayashav hayam lahisana tanai hisna kodesh bochu on kriyas yamsu. The Rambam explains this on the all the nisim gluim are like that. Everything is like a tanai of im. When it'll be time, so the pihar, it should open up. Mishnah gives a list of different punishments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the whole world for various averas. Mishnah Ches. Shivim mini paranias boim la'olam. So one of them is Chereb bo la'olam, wars. Alini hadin, balibus hadin, balamar batar shaloi kahalocha. The Netziv, in his introduction to his commentary on the Shultis, it's called Kidmas Emek. He originally printed his commentary with the Shultis, his commentary on the Shultis, in three different volumes like it is now, Bereishis Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar Dvarim. So he wrote in installments his Kidmas Emek, the Hakdama. So he wrote the first installment at the beginning of the first volume, second installment at the beginning of the second volume, and he completed in the third volume. Now that it's reprinted, now Mosad Rav Kook has the copyright, so they reprint every so often the Shultas with the commentary of the Netziv. So they put all the three installments together. So you don't understand why in the Kidmas Emek, why does it have the first, the second, the third? Because originally it was printed like that. Originally it was printed in installments. So he discusses, it's really an introduction to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. And he has a lot of side topics there as well. So one of the side topics that he talks about is this, that all the wars in the world are the fault of the Jewish people. The chera bol olam, the wars are a punishment for bitul Torah. When there's bitul Torah, so the rabbanim don't paskin properly. Ibus adin, inu adin, morim batar shaloi kalocha. He quotes Gemara, first Rebbeinu Shlomo will make a war in Vietnam, he'll make a war in South Africa, make a war somewhere else, to be meramis to us that we better be Isaac in Melchamta Shel Torah. We have to learn better. And if you don't get the hint, then it brings the war closer to us. And we still don't get the hint, then it gets the Jewish people involved in the war. So this is a punishment for bittul Torah. So the pasuk says in Chumash that when we go to war in the army base, when you have a Machne Yisrael, the Chazon Ish explains the end of the second parak in Erevin. There's a Mishnah Abad Varm Patru Bamachne. When there's a military base where there are soldiers, they are Jewish soldiers, so it has a special status of Machne Yisrael. So when does it have this special status? It says it has to be not there's a Jewish battalion in the British army. No, it has to be a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And how many people do you have to have? What's the minimum number of people you have to have in the army base that should have the status of Machne Yisrael? So the Rabbeinu Hananel, at the end of the first Perek in Erevin, on that Mishnah, Bo Dvarim Patru B'Machne, quotes the three-way machlokes in the Yerushalmi. How many soldiers do you have to have? One opinion is you have to have Shnei Masa Elef, because at Melchemes Midyan it says, Elef Lamata, Shnei Masa Elef, Chalutzei Tzava, you have to have 12,000. I think another opinion is 1,000, because every Shevet gave Elef Lamata, so you see 1,000 soldiers. The Chazon Ish thinks that the accepted opinion is 10 soldiers. If you have Kol Be'asara, Shechinta Shari, if you have 10 people, then the Shechina will be Shura. And that's why you have to be careful with certain things in the Machna, because the Pasuk promises, Ka'ashem alakecha misalach b'kerab machanecha l'hatzi lecha, los yisaybecha b'yadecha b'ayah machanecha kodesh. There's a din you need Kedushas ha-Machna, because the Shechina will be there. What do you mean, 10 people, Kol Be'asar Shechinta Shari? So Rachel used to joke, and he used to say, what do you mean, 10 Jews are reading the Morgen Journal? They're reading the daily Yiddish newspaper. So there's going to be Shechina Shari. No, 10 people, they said, Dovish b'kedusha. So what's the Dovish b'kedusha over here? Fighting the Mohammeds for the Jewish people, if it's a Jewish army with 10 Jewish soldiers who are roy to be mitzdarv to a minyan. Just like in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Apikoris is not mitzdarv to a minyan. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he paskens against the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that an Apikoris is mitzdarv to a minyan. And he quotes that you learn out the din of on Moser Leida Hara Hazos, that 12 Meraglim were sent to Eretz Yisrael, and two of them gave an accurate report, Yeshua and Kolev, and 10 told an inaccurate report. The Rabban Shalom got angry. He says, "A Moser Leida Hara Hazos." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the 10 Meraglim as an Eida. And an Eida is what you need for Dovish B'Kedusha, the Gemara establishes. So that's how you know that you need 10. And then the Gemara says in Saita, in Perek Eilin Amarim, that the Meraglim are Apikursim, because they said, Ki Chazaku Mimenu. Mimenu, the Gemara understands, does mean Mimenu, that the nations who live, the Lamed Aleph Malachim, who live in Eretz Yisrael, are stronger than us. Mimenu, Me'anachna, but Mimenu is stronger than God. The God, Afilu Balabais, even the Rebbe Shalom won't be able to win the war. So the Gemara says that, Meraglim apikursim, because the Gemara translates the word mimenu, they're stronger than him, stronger than God. And the Gemara learns that asara from the Meraglim. So you see that apikursim are mitzdarfim to a minyan. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam in the Tshuva says, apikuris is dina kakam, and he's not mitzdarf to a minyan. So that's what we usually assume. The Chazanish says that the Palmach was a group of Jewish soldiers, but it wasn't sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So that was before Hakamas HaMedina. So that didn't have the din of Machne Yisrael. If you have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and you have 10 people together, what do you mean together? How close do they have to be? So he talks about that also. Let's say there are 10 people davening on the lawn, and they're 6 feet apart from each other. Are they mitzarfin to a minyan if they can hear each other? So the Chazon Ish quotes an Israeli army, this happens a lot. They daven on the grass. They daven, they don't daven inside a building. If you're davening inside a room, so all 10 people have to be in one room, then it's starving to me. And if you're davening on the grass, is there a maximum distance that they can be far apart from each other that up until that point, they're starving? So the Chazon Ish quotes the Gemara in Erevin, up until Shivim Amah Vishirayim. It's a surprising, startling chiddush. Is a shir and being mitzar of houses together. If you have a whole city and then you have The city is a rectangular shape, let's say. Al Pidin, every city, the Mishnah says in Erevin, Al Pidin, every city is rectangular shape for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos. So you take the northernmost house, the easternmost house, you take the northernmost house and you draw a line. You take the easternmost house, you draw a line. So that even though you have areas where there are no houses at all, you declare the whole city is considered a rectangular shape. And then you have Alpai Mama outside of the city. All the people that live in the city house, Alpai Mama outside of the city. Reven Mekel, you have Shiva Mama, Vishirai, Mizi Burushali, before you start measuring the Alpai Mama. So the Mishnah discusses, what if you have a city and then you have a house, a house, a house, a house, but then for 2 miles, then no other houses. Just have one house, that tak extends the whole city limits. So the Gemara says, if the houses are within Shivim Amah Vishirayim to each other, each house within Shivim Amah Vishirayim to the other one, so that extends the city limits. So the Pashup Shat, when you learn Erevin, it's a din in being mitzaref buildings. And Tosis applies it, a definition of a city, you have to have Gimel Chatzeres. Chatzer has walls around it. So Tosis says, do you need the Gimel Chatzeres have to be touching each other, contiguous? So they say, no, if within Shidim Amah Vishirayim to each other, within 70 and two-thirds of an Amah is also good. The Gemara learns that Shia from a Pasuk. Din Deraisa, Tosis says, you learn that from a Pasuk. So Pashup Shat, it's a din in being mitzaref, batim a din in being mitzaref. Chatzeris. So the Chazanish says it didn't mean mitzaref people. If the people are too far apart from each other, Shiva Mamad Shiraim apart, then they're not mitzaref him to constitute a minion. So the Pasuk requires that the soldiers, if you have 10, the Chazanish says, look in the Magad Mishnah, in the three opinions in Yerushalmi, what's the minimum number of Jewish soldiers you need to constitute a machne? If it's an army base that's sponsored with Jewish soldiers sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Israel, even if the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, but she's the Queen over England, not the Queen over Eretz Israel, has to be a Jewish person, has to be a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Israel. Even if you have a Jewish person ruling over America, that's not called Malchus Israel. It has to be Malchus Israel, and it has to be a Machne Israel. So if you have 10 people, so then you have to be careful for Tzoya, Amer Aglayim, and Erva. Why? L'yir b'cha Erva's davar, v'l'yir b'cha HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not see Erva's davar v'shol v'miacharecha. The Shechina will run away. So the reason why you have to be careful is because the Shechina is there. So what do you mean, kol be'asar Shechina tushar? If you have 10 people reading the newspaper, that's not kol be'asar. But if they're fighting Mechamas Hashem, then the Torah promises the Shechina will be there. So the Chazal understood, even though the Pasuk is only talking about 10 Jewish soldiers, religious Jewish soldiers, not apikursim, observant soldiers, who are maminim, who are royally hit starved to a minion, so then it's called fighting the battle, it's called like a Dovisha Bidusha, the Shechina will be there. The Chazal and the Gemara understood who are dinami, if they're davening, or if they're learning Torah. Also, you have to be careful for Kedushas HaMokam. You have to be careful for Tzoya, Meraglayim, and for Erva. Then the Medrash in the Yalkut Shimonia on that Pasuk, V'hoya Machanecha Kodesh, says also you have to be careful that you shouldn't have men and women davening together in the same location. You have to have Archok of Dalet Amos so they can stand within 5 Amos of each other. It's based on the Pasuk in Shoftim, Chapter Aleph, that says that Chana was married to Elkanah for so many years, she had no children, and she prayed in Mishkan Shiloh, she prayed for a baby, and then when Shmuel was 2 years old, so she brought him to Mishkan Shiloh, and she told Eli HaKoyen, Ani Hoisha Hanitzev Simcha Bazeh, I'm the woman who was here 3 years ago, I hadn't had any children for so many years, and I just had this baby. So the word imcha is spelled I mem chaf hey. It's supposed to be spelled I mem chaf. So the Medrash understands the Tosfos and Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis explains this, but it's based on the Medrash. The Medrash understands imcha means I was standing within 5 amas. I wasn't standing within 4 amas of you because men and women are supposed to be misrachik from each other 4 amas. Even now, Pashtus says that people are davening at home. They shouldn't daven next to their wives and next to their mothers. They should have a harchok of at least alaramas away from each other. In a shul, there were those who thought that if you have an aisle between the men's section and the women's section, and the separation is a little more than 4 amas, that's sufficient. So that's why Moshe Weinstein shows from the Gemara that in shul that's not enough. You need more than that. So in a shul, we insist you have to have a mechitza. And then a whole discussion how big the mechitza has to be. But if it's not in a shul, people are davening outside, so people davening bichidus at home, so you should have at least a harchok of dalan amos. That's part of ohe machanecha kodesh. So this...
Rebbe?
Yeah.
In shul, do you need dalan amos and the mechitza?
If you have a mechitza that's already more than dalan amos, I don't think you need both. I don't think, once you have a mechitza, I don't think you need the dalan amos. I don't think so. So the Gemara says the Chizkiyo HaMelech had a whole campaign during his reign, and he forced everybody to learn Chumash. And Bat Kamidon Bat Be'er Sheva, they tested everyone from the north to the south, and all the little children, everybody knew all the dinim of Kotchim and Tara, everybody knew all the dinim in the Chumash. And whoever didn't learn the dinim would be punished by the government. The police would go around to make sure that everybody's learning. So the Netziv asks in his Hagdama to the children, what right do they have to force everybody? I want to go into business. And I say Kriya Shema twice a day, Genuk, Maspik. I'm Yotzei the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Why do you have the right to force me to learn? So he said, this was for security purposes. Chizkiyo HaMelech was afraid the enemy was going to attack. And the enemy comes to attack this Milchama when the Jews are not learning Torah. So if you feel that for security purposes, if everyone will learn Torah, the country will be more secure, then the government has a right to do whatever is necessary for security purposes. So they have the right to force everybody to learn. So he quotes Agimora Makis, comments on the Pasuk. Nusai Raglainu, Bisharayach Yerushalayim. Pashup Shat is, we visited the Beis HaMikdash, we came to Be'er Regel. The Jews live all over in Eretz Yisrael, but they come to visit Yerushalayim 3 times a year. That's Pashup Shat. So the Medrash says, the Gemara in Makkah says, the soldiers were successful in battle because of the Bati Midrashah of Yerushalayim, because they sit and learn in the Kollelim in Yerushalayim, the Bati Midrashah in Yerushalayim. That's why the soldiers are successful in battle. So the Netziv quotes many Mamari Chazal like that, that all the Mohammeds in the world are a punishment for Bittul Torah of the Jewish people. And the success that they'll have in battle will be because everybody is learning. So the Netziv suggests, this is very difficult, he suggests, why is there a din that you need Kedushas HaMokim in the army base? Where is the Hashuas HaShchina there? So he says, because Limud HaTorah is what will give success to the soldiers in battle, so they used to have the Hezdenikim would sit at the front and they would learn Gemara whenever there was no battle. That's what they do. Okay, they taka learn, the Hezdenikim taka do learn when there's no battle. And he said, that's why there's a din of Hoy Machanech HaKadosh, because they had the battalion of Lomdim sitting at the front and learning. Pashup Shat is not like that. Pashup Shat is because Kashem Elokecha Misalach B'kar Machanecha Lahatzi Lecha V'lo Se'edecha B'yadecha, because the Shechina, the Torah promises the Shechina will be there when they'll be waging the war. That's why. But the idea behind it is taki rooted in this Mishnah, that Chere Bol Oilam Milchamas are all a punishment because of Bittul Torah. The Mishnah has a series of starting from my Mishnah is it starting from Mishnah Yud, Arba Midas Ba'Adam. Then you have Arba Midas B'Deyas, Arba Midas B'Talmidim, Arba Midas B'Nes Netzdokah, Arba Midas B'Hochay Beis HaMedesh, Arba Midas B'Yoshvei Lefnei HaChachamim. You have a series of Mishnayos. If you look in all these Mishnayos, the best one is the third and the worst one is the fourth. So that's Rab Chaim Volozhin points out. Others pointed out as well. Sfardish Achrayim also pointed out. In Mishnah Tezvah, by me it's Mishnah Tezvah, Arba Midas B'Yoshvei Lefnei HaChachamim, so you have Sfog, Mashpech, Mishameres, Venofis. Sfog, he absorbs everything. Mashpech, everything goes in one ear and out the other. Mishameris, the Mishnah says Mishameris. The third one is Mishameris. Usually the third is the best and the fourth is the worst. So Mishameris, what's the definition? Matzia es hayayim mekoletes es hashmarim. The wine goes out and holds back the psolas. So why is that the best? He forgets all the good shurim, and the only thing that he retains is the junk. And then the fourth one is nofe shematzia es hakemach mekoletes es hasolas. He preserves.
Finished listening.
The Rebbe gives a shiur. And the Talmud only
reads
the weak parts of the Shia. But Coletta says, he retains the best part and the Shia part also. So this Mishnah, the 12 doesn't seem to be parallel to the other Mishnah. All the other Mishnahs, the third one is the best, and the fourth one is the worst. So that's what Chaim Alojener in his commentary on Pirkei Avos and others, Sardis Shachranim also have it. So they think that this Mishnah is speaking about Talmidim telling over Torah from the Rebbe. So Sfog means he absorbs everything, he doesn't say over anything. Mashpech means he says over everything the Rebbe said. That's also not right. Chaim Alojener is quoted, he didn't write it, it's written by one of the descendants, a grandson of Chaim Alojener. So he writes in the name of Chaim Alojener, the Rebbe is mukhiyev to say and share whatever occurs to him, even if it's not ois gehalten. Because even if it's not correct over here to explain the Gemara that they're learning, but the idea behind it, the aside behind it, may explain some other Gemaras. So the Rebbe should say everything that occurs to him in explaining the Gemara, even if it may not be accurate. But the student should be selective. Students shouldn't swallow everything the Rebbe says. Students should not be like a sfog, to absorb a sponge, to absorb everything the Rebbe says. It shouldn't be like a mashpech to say over everything. He should be, the third is mishameres. He should be kolet the psolus. He should not say over the things that he thinks are incorrect and only say over the good things from the Rebbe. So the third is the best. And the last one, there are such talmidim that they have a keen sense that when the Rebbe says a shir and he says a lot of things that are not accurate, so the talmidim think that those are razzle-dazzle because they're not correct. So those are the only things they'll say over. There are students of Rabbi Soloveitchik that everything they say over doesn't make sense. They picked all the things that sometimes they're saying over word for word from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he made mistakes. He was a human being. He was always mocked, but he didn't want people to tape his shiurim. He didn't want people to publish his shiurim. He said every so often he makes a mistake. So there are people who have a chush, a knack. They'll only say over the bad parts because those are the things that are startling. And the normal shiurim that everything works out well, there's they don't say over. So that's what the Mishnah has, the four midas and the talmidim. There's a fascinating lashon in the Mishnah, in my Mishnah, it's Mishnah Yutes. You should be mitamirav shel Avraham Avinu, shouldn't be mitamirav shel Bilam HaRosha. And the psukim that they quote are from Bilam and from Avraham. So they speak about the talmidim of Avraham Avinu act like this, the talmidim of Bilam act like that. So some commentaries say, sometimes Bilam HaRosha dresses up and you can't really, when you look at Bilam, you can't tell the difference between Bilam and Avraham. He also has a big hat and a frock and a big arba kamtes. He looks also like a big tzaddik, but you can tell from the talmidim. The one who's like Avraham Avinu, he'll have good talmidim. The one who's like Bilam, he can put on an act and fool the public into believing that he's a big tzaddik and big talmid chacham. He's going to have rotten talmidim. So a lot of times you can't tell who the Rebbe was until you look at the talmidim. So if you look at the talmidim, you'll see the difference. Mishnah Chof in my Mishnah is very fascinating. Yudah ben Tema says he should be as kanomer, and then he says right away, hu hayoimer, as panim legen. But he recommended you should be as kanomer. You should be as. So there's a famous in Lubavitch, I think it's the Mitzvah Rebbe, I think it's the second Lubavitcher Rebbe out of the seven that they had. He wrote Ikuntrus of Mayon. Mayon Yotze Mebeis Hashem. That's the opening line, the pasuk from Navi. So he speaks about Gaiva de Kedusha. It says, Vayigbar Liba Bedarchei Hashem, that a person should be humble. But if he's in a situation where other people are making fun of the religion, he's not going to daven because he's embarrassed. He's not going to put on tefillin. So then you have to be Vayigbar Liba Bedarchei Hashem. You have to be an aspanim. If the others are making fun of the religion, then you have to have Azus. Azus the Kedusha. That's called Gaiva de Kedusha. But if you live in a normal society, then aspanim ganim, you shouldn't be an aspanim. We should all have a good Shabbos and we should all be healthy. Be well.
Thank you, Shachter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
You too.
Does Rebbe think that the shir for Tzair Flaminian is like the Chazon Ish?
Shiva Mama Vishirayim. I don't know. I think in the Israeli army, they follow this Chazon Ish. They try to be close to each other. Shivam, I find it very surprising. I don't know. If the people are in the same room, then the room is mitzar of them. If there are no walls around, so then is there a shir? Is there a maximum distance? That after that distance, you can't be mitzar. So I thought that Chazon Ish was a big chiddush. I don't know.
Rebbe thinks we should stick with Dalet Amos.
I don't know. The Chiddush. Don't know.
Okay.
Tov. Hagut and Shabbos, everybody.
Heavy. Shabbos.
Hagut and Shabbos.
Shabbos.
You too.